بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had once explained that one youngster he had met 500 Buzruganadin, 500 Oliya of the time. And he asked all these 500 five questions, and all five had given identical answers. So 500 Oliya and five questions, and all five answers were identical, all the same. So when so many people, so far apart, and all say the same thing, then there must be some substance in this. Not some great substance in this. The one question that I remember that he had put forth before them is Hoshyar kon hai. Now, Hoshyar is a combination of two words, Hosh and Yar. Hosh literally translates as sense. They say Hosh mein hai. Hosh mein hai. He's still in his senses. So one is Hosh and the other is Yar. Yar is a Persian word, normally translates as friend. So this translates as the person of senses. In other words, a sensible person. Simply put in English, a sensible person. Who is a sensible person? You know, when someone tells you that you're talking nonsense, you feel very, very hurt about it, right? You feel down. What this person is saying? I'm talking here, and he says I'm talking nonsense. So, to be talking sense is a great thing. He's talking sense, right? So that's a great blessing. And it's a great honor to be talking sense. And to be talking nonsense is really a disgrace. It's an embarrassment. So this one question was put across all these 500 Oliya, and all's answer was one and the same. The answer was, Jo Parishan Naho. Pari is also a Persian word. Pari means something that is flying. Say parinda. Parinda means bird. Parwaz. Parwaz you call flight. Flight. Parwaz, 5 baje ko hai. Uski parwaz, his flight is at 5 o'clock. Parwez. So all these things refer to flight, flying. Right? And shan is state. So when you say parishan, this is also a combination of two words. One is flying and one is state. His state is flying. In other words, he is not in control of himself. He is flying from one end to the other. Helter-skelter. You know, you say helter-skelter. So the same helter-skelter, the exact or approximate meaning, the approximate word in Urdu will be parishan. Is helter-skelter. His mind is helter-skelter. He can't contain himself. He doesn't have the composure that is needed. He doesn't have the composure that is required. So when you say composure, then composure doesn't only refer to one single thing. In every sphere of his life, in every moment of his life, he is in control of his senses. He doesn't go out of his senses. So now this is really a superb person, intelligent person. At every moment, any given time, then he is in his senses. In namaz, he is in his senses to do the right thing and to say the right thing in the right way. or the right frame of mind, the entire namaz is done in that way. Alright? It's the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are doing our namazes. Right? And alhamdulillah, most of us are doing the postures also right. And alhamdulillah, we also endeavor to get the right frame of mind. Though we may not have it entirely and completely, but we endeavor for that. We endeavor towards that, try towards that, that we are in the right frame of our minds as well. But namaz is one obligation in our life. There are many other obligations, and in all those obligations, are we in the right frame of the mind? Are we in control of ourselves, or do we lose ourselves for that moment? How do we conduct ourselves in our business? Are we in control of ourselves? Are we conducting our business with our senses or with our heart and emotions? How do we do it? Now, it's a dealing that's coming up. It's a deal, great bargain that's coming up. And then our heart is racing with us. Never mind, just do the overdraft now. You will never get this deal again. Make tawbah and carry on, you know. So for the moment, you will lose yourself. For the moment, you are not within yourself. So ye hoshyar aadmi nahi hai. Ye pareshan aadmi hai. He is not that sensible person. The comforts of dunya, just remember, the one secret word with respect to the comforts and the enjoyments of the dunya is that it is short-termed. Short-termed. A simple example, a person is running a life, he's married, and he's comfortable, everything is working out, children, wife, marriage, everything is comfortable. Suddenly he gets interested in his secretary, and his wife learns about it. Okay, now he's getting interested in his secretary. Now the whole house that was a Jannat a few moments ago now turns out to be a Jahannam. His wife's face is pulled up, children are torn apart, they don't want to share the bed, they're not talking up with their faces straight. Everything now, it looks like he's going towards hell. He's going towards hell, misery, problem. He's not looking forward to that home now. It's no more a home. Just that, for that moment, he went into that extramarital haram relationship. And it was just for joy and a pleasure for a moment. I mean, how long? For half an hour, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, half an hour enjoyment. And for that half an hour enjoyment, I used to pay so seriously, so dearly, that his whole family life, five children, four children, he's got, everything has been devastated. See, that little bit. So this is the common thing in purely worldly pleasures, that they are always short-lived. You're running a business, running everything well, everything is going on well for you. There's comfort, there's happiness, there's abundance. And someone comes out with a business plan that 50 months to pay and so much of interest. And but you know, after this 50 months, and how much your business will be turning around. It will be just turning and turning and turning, multiplying all the time. Now you go and buy that idea, and then now you see that that happiness that you enjoyed, that happiness is gone. Now it's a happiness, but it's an imaginary happiness. Before it was a real happiness. You felt fulfillment, you felt satisfaction, you felt ease within your heart. But you moved away from this plan. For that moment, you lost your senses. You just went for that. Forget it now. Let's carry on now. We can't be so strict now. We're not farishtas. Let me just go for this. So you tried to justify this. When you justified it, you went for it. When you went for it, now it's a lifelong misery that you have taken on. It's not one misery for a moment, misery for a second. You knew it was haram. And that person that was selling the idea, he sold it to you with such attraction that you fell for it. When you fell for it now, you can't reverse it. Now you're seeing that it's turning 20,000, 30,000 every month. Right? And then you try and justify yourself wrongfully. That see, had I not gone into this, then where could that 30,000 come from? See, I'm getting 30,000 every month. I paid that out. I'll make tawbah now. Allah will forgive me. Finish. So But you broke the relationship, you severed the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how long will it take you to repair that relationship? Before you could enter into this, you were enjoying a very good relationship with Allah ta'ala, coming early for namaz, peaceful, you had no fights with anybody, right? The town people loved you and respected you, and everything was going on smoothly. But then when you lost your senses for that moment, got parishan for that moment, you know, your senses began to go helter-skelter. Your thoughts began to go helter-skelter and you fell into this. So it was a moment of pleasure, but after that moment of pleasure, now it's a lifelong misery that you have taken on for yourself. So this is the very nature of anything that is purely worldly. If you are doing something worldly but for dini reasons, then it has a different finish. You did a business, you did a dealing, but purely for business, for dini reasons you have done. Well, that's a blessing. Right. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made dua for some people for worldly reasons. Anas radiallahu anhu made dua for him for worldly reasons. Like Allah Ta'ala grant him barakat in his wealth, grant him barakat in his age. And when he secured that barakat, then he had a beautiful life. Life was beautiful, long, enjoyable, and the wealth was also as much. So dini-wise and dunya-wise, he didn't lose out. So outwardly it was dunya, but really it was deen. Outwardly it had the cover of dunya, but really it was deen. He was flourishing in his deen. He was enjoying in his deen. He was progressing in his deen with the dunya of his. So the dunya became a means of him coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, one is marital life, one is your business life, one is your social life when you're interacting with people. Now you need to see when you're interacting with your people, interacting with your clients or with your workers, how you interact with them. Okay? How do you interact with them? Are you truthful? Do you contain yourself? Are you in your senses? Or do you lose it for that moment? For that short-term benefit, do you lose it? In the hadith, like I explained about that person that was locked up in the cave, then similarly, the second person that was locked up in the cave was that person that had employed some workers to work his farm. And they worked the farm and he paid them out. One person was left and he went to pay him. That person refused to take it. It's too small. I don't want to take it. Some quantity of rice. Farqa araz aruz. So much of rice I will give you in lieu of the work that you have done. So he refused what was agreed upon, he gave him, but for whatever reason this person refused. So anyway, this person took that rice and he cultivated it. A big farm, and then he bought animals and he bought a slave to look after the animals, and he grew it and he multiplied it and multiplied it and multiplied it. At length this person comes and he says, Fi Allah Ta'ala, give me back my money. So he says, there's your money. And all that whole flock that he had reared up and the slaves that he had bought with that same quantity of rice. He says, don't joke with me, give me my money. Says, no, I mean it, I'm serious about it. Although it was not an obligation to give him all that. But he felt to himself that I multiplied this wealth with his wealth. I multiplied this, but I multiplied it with whose money? Shar'an, you will not say that it is money, because the money only, you only become the owner when you get the custody of the wealth. Right? The custody has been transferred from the employer to the employee. Now here, the custody of that wealth wasn't transferred. When it wasn't transferred, so it doesn't become the worker's money, it's still your money. But the man was so clear and so clean, so honest in his heart, says, no, come what may, I can't enjoy this wealth. You see this, Allah Pak likes this. You're so clear, you're so honest, you're truer than true. In these contracts, Allah Pak likes this. Whether it's a small contract, it's a big contract, but you are truthful to Allah Ta'ala and you will see the good of it. One day you will see the good of it and how it materializes. Outwardly it seems that you're giving out so much, the whole flock you're giving. Imagine whole flock of cattle is giving. Say it's about 300 cattle, he's giving it one go. And three, four persons that he has bought off, he has bought people to look after that herd. So what it is now? 300 cattle and then plus three people. So at least, you know, if you equate it, it's about half a mil. And what that rice was costing originally, about 1,000 rands. Or must be less than 1,000 rands. The 1,000 rands, he has multiplied to half a mil. Right? Now, if it was one of us, we will go to Jamia, let's go for arbitration. The best, no, the Shari route is the best route, let's go for arbitration. But this person was truer than true. Honest. No, this wealth here, I invested it for him. It was his money and I invested it. See, the way we carry on our business, like only we've got feelings and sentiments, other people got no sentiments. Everybody has sentiments, everybody has feelings. And those feelings must be respected. And apart from that, this truth, you see, this truth, when it comes out, Allah Baga really, really admires the truth. No matter who it is, how insignificant he is, but he is your worker. And this was what was agreed upon, what was arranged upon. He thought to himself, this was what was agreed. Then I went and invested his wealth. Right? So really, that wealth belongs to him. So let me give the whole thing. So now, Ya Abdullah, servant of Allah, don't joke with me. Give me my money. Give me my due. So no, this is yours. So he didn't even look back. He herded the whole cattle with all the shepherds and everything. He took it away. Now he's making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah Ta'ala, if this was done only for your pleasure, then oh Allah Ta'ala, open this mouth of the cave. And that thing opened out. You see this. Now we look at this incident as a miracle finish end of the story. But do we ever cross-examine this entire incident? That this was on account of this person's highest level of honesty. His honesty was so good. How do you relate with my servants? It's my servant. Well, I have placed him under you. I have given you some type of authority and control over him. But does it mean now you abuse that authority? Right? That person that is hard up for a job, right? He's come to you. You have got some type of authority over him, some type of control over him. Does that mean now that you abuse your authority and you exploit the person? Or does it mean no? Let me enjoy, let him enjoy. Like, I've got feelings, he's got feelings. I've got family, he's got family. I got needs, he's got needs. I want enjoyment and happiness, he wants enjoyment and happiness. Now I think for him like how I think for myself. Now you see how Allah Ta'ala will allow you to flourish. Now you don't only flourish worldly and material wise, you enjoy spiritual wise as well. Within your ibadat, you're finding happiness, sweetness. Now in your namaz, you're reading your namaz, but your worker is making dua for you. Allah Ta'ala, you bless my boss. My boss is a different kettle of fish. He's a different person. Allah Ta'ala, you bless me, you bless him as well, Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, he thinks not only for me, he thinks of my wife, my children, of my feelings, my inner feelings he thinks of. Allah Ta'ala, you take care of him like he's taken care of me. Yahya Barmaki, rahmatullah alayhi, had passed away. One of the wazirs, he was an advisor to the king, Harun al-Rashid. So he passed away. So they asked him, how does it fare with you now that you've gone to the next realm? He says, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me and blessed me with Jannat. And how did that happen? He says, no. I used to be giving Sufyan Sauri 1,000 dirhams every month. 1,000 dirhams, today's value, approximately 12,000-13,000 rands to see his affairs and whatever. And Sufyan Sauri, rahmatullah alayhi, used to make dua for me in the state of sajda. That, oh Allah Ta'ala, Yahya Barmaki has taken care of my dunya, you take care of his deen. Allah Ta'ala, he's taken care of my dunya, you take care of his deen. Now this story is in the teaching of Islam. See? It works both ways. You get the fulfillment. See, but when we don't apply our senses, we are only for ourselves, only for ourselves. Right? And we don't think for the next person, then what happens? Then that pleasure, that fulfillment, that satisfaction is gone. That person is not with you. He's with you only for the job. And after that, he's gone. He's running his independent life. He doesn't think for you. But now you think for him, you think for his pleasure, his enjoyment, then he's a different person. You just think to yourself, ikhwanukum, it's your brothers. Allah Ta'ala has given you authority over them. He's given you some superior type of intelligence and understanding, some superior type of strength, and some better money than you have given him. So Allah Ta'ala has given you this position not to exploit them, but to manage them. They don't know how to do it. Right? He's given you better understanding. He's given you more wealth. But that wealth, does it mean that you must store up and hoard up and use for unnecessary things? Or does it mean that you must share the feelings of happiness, joy with these people as well, underprivileged? Remember, they're all the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see the using of our senses. This is an important thing. And that's what Hazrat Rahmatullah is saying, that the man that is in control of his senses, he doesn't lose himself. No matter what condition he is, what state of mind he is in, but he doesn't lose himself. So right, this time now, what must I do? What does Allah Ta'ala want me to do at this moment? What will please Allah Ta'ala at this moment? Allah Ta'ala could have reversed the situation. He could have reversed the condition. He could have put you in the worker's place, right? And the worker in your place. Couldn't he have done that? He could have done it. Who stopped him? Nobody's stopping him. He could have done that. But if you were in his place, what would you have preferred? What would you have desired? Mu'tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi says that husband and wife, they're enjoying marital life, new, and both are good for each other, both are attractive to each other, and they're really enjoying life. And in the heat of the enjoyment, there's a knock at the door. So the husband is really, really frustrated, angry. Is this the time to come? The beggar puts his face down, head down, in shame, embarrassment, and remorsefully he moves away. Anyway, sometimes after that, 5 months, 6 months down the line, now they're beginning to see problems within their marriage. You see, controls, real controls, is up there. Don't you think that you are in control of any situation? But just be patient. Just be patient. Let things flow. You'll find things will materialize. Tum hosh mero, hosh sambalo. You be in your senses. Be in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And you will see things happening after that. But you be in control of your senses. Don't lose your sense. You're driving on the road. Don't use your senses. Okay? Someone is hooting and shouting. And you lose your senses and you hoot and shout. He's throwing a punch and you throw a punch. You may just go off the road, you may lose balance, you'll be a disaster for yourself, as well as the passengers that are with you, and perhaps the motorists that are around you. But you in your senses, and you think to yourself, well, this person is acting mad, must I also begin to conduct myself like a madman? No. I must save myself, I must save my passengers, and I must save those motorists that are around. It's not my job to control the whole world here. That's Allah Bagh's world, he'll control the whole world. But he asked me to just look after myself, and I must control myself. But if I lose myself, what happens at that moment? What a big disaster. Great, great, massive disaster. See how this thing is working out. Be in control of yourself. Don't lose yourself at any given moment. At any given moment. In seclusion, you are in seclusion now, totally. Nobody is seeing you, nobody is observing you, nobody is watching you. And then you think to yourself, Allah is watching. I'm not alone. Allah Pak is with me. Right? I can't do my own thing. Allah Pak is observing. He's watching me. You will find support within you. You will find strength within you. You will find stamina and energy within you. But that is subject to how strongly you keep this thought that Allah Ta'ala is with me. Allah Ta'ala mere saath hai. The famous incident of Hazrat Safina radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great sahabi. His name is not Safina, but he got the name from Rasul Paksam. Safina means ship. So it happened that they were out on safar. They were out on a journey. And in jihad with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam perhaps, and someone had some extra additional blanket or a shawl, and they gave it to the Safina radiallahu anhu. Safina must be like a very happy sahabi, happy, easygoing, manageable. You have some people around, so it keeps the dunya going as well. Everybody strict and, very strict, tight-lipped, then it's difficult. But you've got someone, all right, happy-going, Retiring one, two words also, forget it, doesn't take it seriously. So it makes the whole Jamaat, the whole Kafla go very well. But now you become tight-lipped, and why did you use this word here? Now the whole journey was upset for that one person. Easy going, easy working, Allah Pak also keeps you with ease. But now you are very strong in this principle, my principle, this is a usul, you must go by this. But the usul was just there to keep you all together. Now and then, if something went off, it's alright, so long as you didn't break the person's heart, you didn't flout the law of the Sharia. Or you did it, it's a mistake, now finish. Now don't go and get at the person's neck. See, now, sometimes you get at the person, get at the bottom of the problem. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu zamana, hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. Hazrat Mughira ibn Shawba radiallahu anhu, at the latter portion of the night, someone saw him coming out. So they followed him. Where is he going to? He is the Amir now of the whole Syria, wherever. He is the Amir. And where is he going to? So he saw him entering one house, not his own house. Hey, I have caught this person, you know? He followed him. So he went into the house, he locked the door. Somehow he managed to peep into that house. He saw this person is engaged with a woman actively. So now, I caught him red-handed. He couldn't hold himself, so he said, no, I caught him, and I caught him red-handed. So, but now the Sharia requisite is four witnesses. So he called three people. Right? Now he's four. All saw it. Now, he went and reported it to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala in Medina Munawara. This is what I saw. These are the witnesses. But Umar radiallahu anhu had some confidence in Mughira ibn Shawba that he's a great person. He won't stoop so low. He won't do such a work. But now this mounting evidence against him. So in the meanwhile, the witnesses are standing up against Mughira radiallahu anhu. First witnesses, I saw this. Their own eyes, second, third, came to the fourth person. The fourth person says, no, I saw him engaged with a blanket, and I saw like how a person is on the act and how his breathing becomes heavy, etc. You know, I saw all this, but I didn't see him doing the act actually. The case is thrown out, and these three people are flogged for false accusation. See, the Sharia requires that four people. And four people must say it exactly like how they've seen it. They must see the crime itself. So it's difficult. In the meanwhile, on the side of Mughira radiallahu anhu, he had got into a secret nikah. Right? And he loved to make a lot of nikah, so he got into a secret nikah. And for some reason best known to him, he didn't make it a big announcement. He didn't make a big announcement for it, about it. You see this. So don't be behind a person. Don't get at the person's neck. At him. Any chance and any occasion we've got, we make it our business to look at the person's fault. We have had some type of a unpleasant incident with the person right now. We must smash him down. Must disgrace him. Must advertise his fault. Must advertise his weakness. Leave it. It's between him and Allah Ta'ala. Bas, carry on with my life. Allah Pak didn't make you in charge and responsible for all these type of things. These things that happen in a concealed manner. He didn't make you in charge. So why must you go behind people like that? That person, if he did a wrong, really, he may make Tawbah one day and he'll come right with Allah Ta'ala. Did Allah Pak appoint you as the policeman? Isa alayhi salam says that don't pretend like you are the policeman. You don't pretend like you're a policeman. You conduct yourself as a slave. He's made you a slave. You conduct yourself as a slave. Now you want to assume a policeman's position. You see what he's doing in the confines of his house. What he's doing, spying on this person, on that person, on this person. That's not your job. Leave it out. That is his private life. He did something. He did it wrong. Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. Between him and Allah Ta'ala, he did it. Yeah, it's a different thing that someone is doing a wrong openly. His advertising is wrong. That really, it's wrong. That's really disgusting, where you're doing a wrong and you're doing it blatantly. That's disgusting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he's doing a wrong, and he's doing it secretly, he may have an explanation, like Mughira radiallahu anhu had an explanation that he had done this. People knew about it, about the marriage, right? But perhaps it was not very well advertised. You know, like how in the Spingo Beach Masjid now, the whole thing is advertised. So maybe about 100 people came to know about it, but the whole 1,000 people didn't know about it. So he was amongst those people that didn't know about it. In the meanwhile, it was known amongst the crowd, you see. Now sometimes people go in this end for whatever reason, Allah knows best, but some people go into this end. So now, you don't smash the person straight away. Right? So we'll be talking of being in our senses at any given moment, any given time. Be in control of your senses. And the primary thing is your relationship with your Creator. Your relationship, any given moment, that's a person that is in control of his senses. You don't have that, you don't have anything. Someone was asking me today that what's the importance of being punctual on your ma'amulat. You know? Like I say, the teaching that you have inherited or received from your elder, you keep firmly to that, keep stuck to that, keep strong to that. Don't move away from that. Other things must be done, but in accordance to your capacity. You have to go and teach, you have to make tabligh, you have to write a kitab, whatever, do it. But the teaching of your elders, just keep firmly to that. See, that's now the nucleus, and that's the base. The stronger the base, and the better the performance. And the weaker the base, the weaker the performance. The base has to be very, very strong. Very, very strong. And as you're growing and you're expanding, then the base needs to be stronger again. Because it's the base where everything is being sourced out from. Everything, all the production is from the base. Now the base becomes weak, obviously the production will also be weak. So as you are progressing, the base needs to be strengthened, reinforced. Right? You got married, right? So the affinity and relationship with the wife is there, right? Then you got one child, two children. So the base was the family. This was the production. Right? You will have an affinity. It's natural to have an affinity and a relationship and a bond with the children. But don't forget the source. That was the source. The more you look after the source, everything will go work out right in your life. The direction will be right. Your understanding will be right. You'll be going on well. But now you forget the source and you only think about the production. And obviously, you are forgetting the actual base. You know, it's not a good example to be using. But one person came and told me, you know, in his family business, say sometimes if you see that your nephew or something, he's got a family business and he's got his nephews and whoever working for him. So if you see one of your nephews not performing very well, he's telling me now, then I'm telling you my personal experience, then don't just take off with the nephew. Perhaps you may have not had a good night last night, you know. Something may have not worked out. So that thing is troubling him now. He can't perform. He can't conduct himself. He can't focus. He can't think because of what has happened last night. His whole mind, his whole direction is gone off because of what had happened last night. So it's not that he doesn't want to perform, but it's because of what had happened the previous night. You see this focus, this senses to keep in control. So you will be primarily with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Even the wife, though in spite of the affinity everything, but you keep in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though there is a problem going on that end. But don't lose touch of that. That's the base. Allah ta'ala is the base. Ilayhil masir. So that relationship, don't ever allow that to be affected for anything. You see this. Being strong in your own ma'amulat. Whatever instruction you receive from your buzugan ad-din, awliya ikram, whatever you receive, remain firmly on that. And how firm you are on that, you'll find the production is coming out well as well. But now you lose that, everything begins to go weak. Al-Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, and we marvel at the work Allah Ta'ala has taken from him. He's passed away around 1940 somewhere, early 40s, passed away. But now it's already approximately 70 years that he passed away. but the work is still flourishing. Don't you see it flourishing? But now, what a firm person was he on his ma'amulat. Mawlana Alim Yasab rahmatullah alayh, he says that there was an istima in some desert region, you know. And you can imagine now, it's a desert place in India you're talking of, and the facilities would be really, really poor. So he says, now the whole day is istima, by Maghrib time I was finished. And I can imagine now how much more tired Muhammad Ilyas Sahib will be. He says, I can imagine how tired that man will be, because he's aged already, he's frail. And the whole istima responsibility is on his head. By Maghrib time I was finished. So I thought to myself that let me go to the nearby masjid and I will relax there. At least by Isha time it will be fresh again. So I found, India you find masjids all over, you know, 50 meters, 100 meters nearby. You just look around. You saw one masjid and it's hardly being used. So I went there. I thought I will go and relax there. But I just put my head down and then I just hear from one corner of the masjid, it's dark now, but it's past Maghrib. I read my Maghrib and I came here. So it's quite dark. So I hear some recitation of the Quran Sharif, but very attractive. Very, very attractive. It's just piercing my heart. And then I'm getting more and more interested. On the one side, my tiredness, but I'm getting so consumed in the recitation that I'm forgetting all my tiredness. But then the curiosity had got the better over me. And who is this person that's reciting? So I crept slowly as not to disturb this person's recitation and his seclusion with Allah Ta'ala. I went and seen there was nobody, none else but Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah. The whole day's tiredness, exhaustion, physical, mental, all that. And after that, after Maghrib, this man is there and he is in his namaz. And the voice is so captivating, I couldn't contain myself. The voice is so captivating. Not the real tune, whatever it is, but in such a beautiful way he was reading the Quran Sharif. You know, as though you're finding the Quran Sharif just being revealed. So this ma'amulat, this what we learn from our mashayikh and our buzrugan adeen, that we keep firm. Hazrat Ji Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, apno ko mat chor aur dusre ko mat chher. Don't leave your ways. Be in control, be in your senses, your relationship with Allah Ta'ala and that which is leading you to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Just be in control of that. And don't interfere with others, other people's business. What he is doing, what that person is doing, what this person is doing, how he is doing. Don't interfere in that. Yes, you have a responsibility. You are a father. So as a father, you have a responsibility. You do your responsibility and then don't interrupt your relationship with your creator. Yaqub al-Islam had missed his son. And according to the tafsir, for a period of over 60, 70 years. But did that ever interrupt his relationship with Allah Ta'ala? No. It was the cherry of his heart. But can you show anywhere that it interrupted, na'uzu billah, his relationship with Allah Ta'ala? It carries on, it continues. The child came, he's by the way. I love him, like him, cherry of my heart, everything. But that's in its place. The relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala must not be affected at any time, at any moment. Hazrat Ayyub al-Islam, and we hear of the difficulty that he was in, right? We hear about the difficulty that he was in. And when the difficulty had ended, and his health was restored, his property and wealth was restored, so Allah Ta'ala asks him once, "Oh Ayyub, do you appreciate this condition or that condition of sickness?" So he says, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, everything is yours. All is your favor. This is also your favor. This is also your favor. This is also your blessing. This is also your blessing." See, we have to learn adab from Anbiya alayhi salam. This is your blessing. That is your blessing. Both is from you. So it's a blessing. Whichever condition you keep, obviously it's a blessing. But oh Allah Ta'ala, in that state of sickness, there were two things that I was enjoying. One was, I had a direct communication and relationship with you. Bila wasa, direct relationship. No property, no children, nothing. So the relationship I was enjoying was direct. Now also, I enjoy a relationship, but now property, children, wife, all that. Now it's a relationship, but via. And this was a direct relationship. We like to also watch soccer, whatever, direct, isn't it, life. Or Kari Sahib reciting life. Don't you see that? Do you appreciate that more? Something that is taped and then broadcasted to you. You want to see it live. You want to see it firsthand. So the relationship is different, obviously. But in Allah Ta'ala, directly you are communicating. No, nothing's coming in between. That relationship is different. And something is coming in between. That's a different type of a relationship. So this relationship that we enjoy with Allah Ta'ala, just progress in that relationship. The more you progress in life, the relationship with the real person, that must strengthen. Not with this transitory, fleeting things. These are all wife, children, all that, property, all that is important. We need it. Right? It's the boat. But it's not the real thing. The real thing is the goal. I make that boat the real thing. You'll forget Allah Ta'ala just now. You'll forget that you have to reach just now to come to Durban. Right? Making the boat your house. You'll forget that you have to come to Durban port. Right? You'll forget your actual goal. You'll keep the boat as the real thing. No, that's the real thing. That's the real thing. I need to look after it, maintain it, take care of it. But it's, by the way, it reaches the port, one of those things, you finish. Right? Now, but don't misunderstand me and then neglect your wife and children. Say, Mustafa said, no, Allah is the real thing. And you people are just by the way. Right? You are by the way, obviously. Real is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you're not as important as Allah ta'ala. But because of Allah ta'ala, therefore I am respecting you as well. Zain al-Abidin, rahmatullah alayh, he had his one son on his lap, maybe four or five years of age. So perhaps he saw his daughter, that must have been smaller, about 2 years or so. So she saw the one son here. Oh, she said, why only he must get all the favors? I must get the favor of the father. So she ran, father took her on. So the son that is a little bit bigger, 4 or 5 years of age, so he asks Zain al-Abidin, rahmatullah alayh, that you love me, said, yeah. And you love my sister also, yeah. And you love our mother as well, yeah. Then you love our other brothers also, yeah. And you love Allah Ta'ala as well, yeah. So tell me, this heart of yours, is it a warehouse? You've got so many things stocked up there, that you love this and you love Allah Ta'ala. Or is it a heart? Is it a warehouse or is it a heart? Small little child is asking, is this a warehouse or is this a heart? So now the son is asking. For the moment, Zain al-Abidin rahmatullahi is silent. So the son is again asking, alright, tell me, if there's a conflict of interest, Allah Pak is saying one thing and we say something else, then who will you give preference to? He said, obviously Allah Ta'ala. He said, well, then don't worry. Then you have got the love for Allah Ta'ala, and with us is just consideration. With us is just consideration. The real love is with the real person. And with us is just a consideration that for Allah Ta'ala, you're not going to compromise on any issue, on any matter, you're not going to compromise. So love is with the real person. And these things are consideration, a little bit of affection, a little bit of attention you showed them. This is just out of consideration. The real love is with the real person. I was reading the tafsir, you know. آتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَبْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. In fact, to understand the Quran and the Hadith, you know, after many years, I come to the conclusion, so you have to have a very high level of tasawuf, tazkiyah, to be able to appreciate the wording of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, it's going to be a misconstrued. You will just learn a couple of statements, and that's it. But to understand the very temperament of the Quran, the temperament, you know, temperament is a different thing. You understand the temperament and you understand the law. Loyalist understands law. Has he got the spirit of the law in him? Has he got the spirit of the constitution in him? No, he's not looking for the spirit of the constitution. In fact, he's looking for ways how to legally destroy the spirit of the constitution, isn't it? Legally destroy, smash it down. Legally, but that's what he's looking for. So minus the soul, then your ilm becomes like this. Your knowledge becomes like this. So the real thing that counts by Allah Ta'ala is that amal, that ilm, and what did you do with that ilm? Example, very simple example to illustrate this, is someone is working at the mint, you know, is minting money all the time. Right? So he knows the whole process, how it does, how it works, everything, right? At the end of the day, what happens? At the end of the day, they will check him up, scan him up right through. From olden days, you know. They'll scan him up right through, they'll check him up properly, and then he'll get his 50 rand for the day out. Right? So all that millions that he has piled up and he has printed out, does it mean anything to him? The only thing that means to him is that 50 rand that he gets at the end. What he worked for. What he worked for, that's what he gets. What he didn't work for, that doesn't mean anything to him. That's so that ilm that brings about that color, that ilm that brings about that production, that is that ilm that is beneficial. Say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiya. Beneficial ilm. So he printed out how much? Millions and billions and trillions, you know. You know, how much? And he would speak proudly, you know, how much we printed today? 1 trillion we pulled out. We are so powerful. By at the end of the day, when he walks out of that factory, by how much you got by? 50 rand. So this is our position. This is our position, really. What you worked for, you will earn. Not what you've learned. You're not getting paid for what you've learned. Yes, that learning, it's a guide. What? That learning. Don't think now that learning is useless. It's a guide. It's a guide. It's the key. It will take you forward. Provided you use the key. Provided you put on the torch. You've got the torch. But provided you make use of it, will it guide you? You're not putting on the torch. You're not using it. So it's of no use to you. That is why the knowledge that has been requested for in the hadith, ilman nafiya. Not that knowledge that doesn't benefit. Doesn't benefit me, doesn't benefit anybody else. Nabi Sallam is asking for refuge against such knowledge. So I'll explain this verse of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spend upon Atidal Qurba Hakkahu Wal Yatama Wal Masakin Wala Tubadhir Tabadhira. Spend on this yatim, on the poor, right? And the traveler. And don't squander your wealth. Now the ulama explain that there's four categories of your relatives upon whom to spend is compulsory. Inna fil mali haqqan siwa zakat. Besides zakat, there are other duties on that wealth. See, when as the wealth increases, really, what is supposed to be happening parallel to your wealth increasing is the fear must increase. The Quran Sharif says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. When we want to destroy our populace, what we do? We pass our commands to the wealthy affluent. And when they flout, then our punishment then becomes wholesale punishment. Everybody is getting involved. So the wealthier and the affluent have to become even more serious, more conscious. As the wealth is growing, then the seriousness must also grow. Hey, Allah Pak has given me this way I was and the way I am. So now, what must I do? What Allah Pak wants from me? I can't be like how I was before now. I was earning 20 and now 2,000 earning a day. So now, how must I carry on? How must I conduct myself? So the ulama explained that 4 categories of relatives, it is compulsory, not just an optional thing to take care of. One is the woman that are not married, not settled, or they become widowed, whatever. That's the one level of your relatives. The second level of your relative is the yatim, right? An orphan. The third that is handicapped, whether physically, mentally, but he's handicapped. He can't work for himself, he can't generate income. And the fourth person is the person that is blind. He wants to do, but he can't. What can he do? So it's your compulsory duty to look after them. But now I was thinking that Allah Pak says, all right, this is the duty. And in proportion, you know, proportion to the relationship, the duty is compulsory. For example, a simple way to understand this, there are 2 brothers, right? And the 3rd brother is handicapped. Now proportion to your relationship is equal. your relationship to the third brother that is handicapped is the same. So you need to look after 50% of his requirements and he needs to look after 50%. Right? Now, what I'm getting at is, I was trying to figure out that the Quran says that look after these people. And then, in the same breath, the Quran is saying, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Don't you squander your wealth. And then, squanderers are the brethren of shaitan. مُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And then Allah again says, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّي كَفُورًا. Shaitan is ever ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala. Now look at it, just try and analyze this whole thing. What was the need to speak about these squanderers? Now what is squandering first? Try and understand that. So there's two words in the Quran. One is israf, one is tabzir, right? It's quite a small difference, some say. One is where you need to spend, but you're overspending. Like, I need to spend water, I need to use the water for wuzu, right? But I can do with, for example, 1.5 liters. I'm using 10 liters. So that is one type of waste and extravagance, is one type of squandering of wealth. Right? Now, you need to spend the money, but you are overspending it. You need to spend it, but you are overspending it. When you're going to overspend it, then it's going to impact on someone's right. Right? You could have done without, with a simple floor you could have done for your garage, right? You could have done it simple. You went and tiled it up. Now, tiling it up cost you about 20,000 rand. You know, state of the art, this type of tile, you did it. But now, by the same token, then what happened? That relative didn't have proper facility, no lights. Or he didn't have water. Or he doesn't have a transport to work. He doesn't have some basic requirement. In our context we are talking about, he doesn't have some basic thing. Right? When I say basic thing, then in the context that you are living in, right? But now you just thrown him, you just ignored him. Ignored him, you carry on your life, and we'll carry on our lives. But you see, your pavement, your floor, your flooring, you did excellent. How much? 30,000 rand. And that person doesn't have enough money to pay his rent, water, lights, put food on the table, or medical costs he doesn't have. No. This life of minds mustn't be altered in any way. See, this is tabzir also. It's a type of wastefulness. It's a type of squandering. So this, when we say, you know, remain in your senses, this has got a very broad meaning. Now, if you are in your senses, you would have reasoned, okay, by today I'm in this position that is pitiable. This person is in this pitiable condition. Tomorrow I can be in that pitiable condition. I was speaking about that incident of the Mohammed Sabram that says, you know, that he chased that person out, came for some assistance, poor chap. Are they enjoying? They got the privacy of the home, the young excitement, all that, and they chase the person. Now, it has a consequence. What you do, it has some type of consequence. And then there was some marital problems carried on until there was a divorce, continued in life, whatever. This person became a broken down Johnny. The same, there was a divorce, broken down. Now he's out of marriage. Many years passed. 5, 6, 7 years passed. 8 years passed. Now, this woman is remarried. There is a knock on the door again. So the woman goes out this time. Who's there? And she's there. And she can't hold her tears. She can't contain her tears. Husband says, oh, did he hit you? Did he reprimand you? Did he insult you? Use any type of abusive language against you? Why are you like this? So then she relates that this is the story. That one day we were sitting and having meals, like how we are sitting and having meals today. And one day it was me and this man, this beggar, that came in a broken state. He came to me. Okay? And my husband had insulted him. The same person had insulted the beggar. Right? And he insulted him. Then after that, things began to break away. All the empire that we built up, everything broke off. Right? And I lost everything. Marriage also went on the rocks. Everything finished. So the husband says, and you know who am I? I am the same beggar. I am the same beggar. You see how Allah changes the whole thing. So with Allah Ta'ala, just be patient, and you will see things. فَانْتَزِرُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَزِرِينَ. Just wait. Things will materialize. It takes time for things to unravel. It doesn't happen just overnight. Sometimes we become impatient, want things to happen. It must just happen. At the flash of an eye, it must just happen. Wait. Be consistent. Carry on. What your Mashaikh told you, what your Buzurgan Adin told you. Remain firm. Hold to their teachings. But continue in life. Things will unravel. You will see the mystery of life yourself. But now you want things to happen now. Yesterday must happen. So don't become impatient. You know, in the plan and the system of Allah Ta'ala, there is great, great wisdom. Great, great wisdom is beyond our comprehension. The wisdom is beyond our comprehension. It's like, you know, a simple example to illustrate this and our impatience. Is the father sends his child to school, right? And he must get up at 7 o'clock, prepare, and must travel, get up to school, and then tuition, madrasa, come back. So the son sees this for 1 week or a month, and he says, no, this can't carry on. I can see you. You go to business at 11 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you're back, and you're relaxing, you're Bangalore and all that. So he says, no, I can't go. I'm going on strike. The child says, I'm going on strike. You must have such an enjoyable, relaxed life. I must work so hard. I must go to school, wake up. In order to leave 7 o'clock, I have to get up at 6 o'clock, have a wash and all that, and then travel to school, then wait, and then listen to the teacher, come back with assignments and homework, and then go to madrasa and all that. What the father will say, so, but I went through the same road, through the same path. I am here because of the path that I had taken. Inshallah, you will be on that path one day, but just be patient. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib.